Well, it's good to be here with you today. Let's pray the chaplet. I want to pray for anyone who struggles with addiction in particular. I want to pray for the callers who've asked me to pray for them as well. And I want to pray for you. You know, I know sometimes when we're going through difficult times, it's really hard to pray. It's really hard to pray from the heart and even the trust. I mean, to me here, this is my philosophy on prayer. This is the secret to prayer. If I had to give you just 2 points on it. One, it's complete and total trust, knowing that God, exercising that faith, knowing that God, you know, would never abandon you, that he brings good out of everything. So you got to trust that God is in control. That's the key to really amplifying your prayer. Point two, you have to pray from the heart. That's the second thing. It just can't be this mindless reiteration of words. You really have got to open your soul. It's got to yearn. It's got to, from deep within your soul, within your being, it's got to be a cry to God. So you pray from the heart and you trust, and then those miracles happen. In fact, we're seeing a lot of miracles unfold right now. And I'm so grateful for everyone who's been writing into the show saying, hey, Drew, I asked you for this prayer, I asked you for that prayer, and we're getting all these answers. Check this one out. I just was going through my email before the broadcast. I said, Drew, I recently requested prayers for Jim. He's battling cancer. We had a scan. It showed possible spreading in an unusual area. I'm just writing you today to let you know the great news. The oncologist says, yes, it was cancer, but it has somehow seemed to have disappeared. The person writes, God's amazing. God is amazing. Please continue to pray for Jim and for his complete recovery. He's still getting treatments, but it appears that the cancer has disappeared. St. Peregrine, please intercede for Jim and all cancer patients that they be cured. St. Peregrine, of course, the patron saint of cancer. So we'll turn to him. Another person writes to me, says, hey, Drew, thank you for your prayers. My husband's CT scan showed no problems. You know, he's being sent to a doctor now to identify the cause. But I want to praise God for another miracle and helping me to have a new doctor for my primary care. She says, I've been praying for healing, and I'm just so grateful for your ministry and for so many. This person also wrote and says, look, I just want to send you a quick note about the prayer I sent in for a former classmate of mine. His parents divorced. They were struggling. He was living with his dad. He's been out of school. He's been out of school abruptly. He had to move to Rhode Island. A little bit after I called in for him, I was able to get in touch with him. And he says he was doing well physically. He was still struggling mentally. But lo and behold, a week later, I reached out to him again. He says now, overall, he is feeling better. And I just want to thank you for your prayers and the amazing things that everyone does at Relevant Radio. And I love it. I love it. I love it. God heals the psyche. He heals the heart. He heals the body. He heals the mind. Certainly will give you the grace for your soul. So let's pray for that as well. And I want to pray for anybody who is suffering today. In particular, I want to pray for something else that's lost. I don't know if you saw this story or not. There is a statue of Fatima that was recently stolen in California. And again, we talked about on Friday the importance of doing First Saturday, you know, the First Saturdays. And they were in reparations for this very thing, the blasphemies, the attacks on Our Lady and her sacred images was one of those points. So let's ask God in his mercy return this and for the conversion of that person. And we'll call upon St. Francisco, who it is the anniversary of his death today. And this little boy, just to give you perspective, he was, how do I put it? He was just extraordinary. You know, he died of the Spanish flu. And he was just little. I think he was only 10 years old, and he went through terrible sufferings, and he never, ever, during his illness, complained. He suffered with heroic patience. He never even let out the slightest moan or the slightest complaint, and one day before his death, one of the seers asked him, he says, you're suffering so much, Francisco, and he said, yeah, I'm suffering, but I suffer all for the love of Our Lady. Especially in the serious light of the vision they had. Remember, they had the vision of hell. They saw so many souls going to hell, and they offered everything that they went through as a result of that. And Francisco, as a result, offered all of his sufferings and ultimately his death for the intentions of Our Lady. Let's offer our sufferings now for one another. And let's ask God in his mercy to hear and answer our prayers. I'm joined by Jim Shaper today. He's going to be praying with me, a great colleague of mine. His wife, Erin, has been battling cancer. And Jim, how's your wife doing? How are you holding up?
Doing well. She's actually doing pretty good. She's received great news on her last PET scan that cancer is not growing and no new cancer. She's still suffering with some of the GI issues she was before, so definitely praying for her to be completely healed of that. But thank you for your prayers, and thank you to all the listeners for their prayers. I'd also like to pray for, in addition to Erin, pray for my two children, Sebastian and Georgia. And then I'd like to pray for a family friend named Amy. She's expecting her third child, and her family all has COVID. So praying for a speedy recovery for them as well.
All right, we'll lift up those intentions, and we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. It comes from Marge. She's listening and praying with us in Salt Lake City. Hi, Marge. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Hey, today I want to pray for my son. He owns his own business, and he is having a hard time finding people to come to work for him. So I want to pray for him as a self-employed person, plus all employers who are having troubles finding people who want to come to work.
Isn't that wild? I mean, I'm so struck by that. I was driving down a street in a town this past weekend, and there were three businesses with, you know, hiring signs out front of them. It's bizarre. A little bit later, I'm going to be talking about that with a guest in my final hour. But let's pray for it right now. We'll pray for the blessings that your son needs on his business, for the right personnel and right employees. And well, I give you Marge. She's praying for her child. I actually hear her prayers. But I pray for her, too. I pray for her needs, her health, her wants, her desires. And I ask that you just reward her faithfulness. But I pray for those businesses today that are really struggling to keep their doors open, who are drowning in debt, who are short on business, who are short on cash, and those who really need some good employees. So, Lord, today, bless that. All right, we ask this in your holy name as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Frank is praying in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Frank, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm asking for the prayer warriors to pray. Yesterday, the Philadelphia Police Department's chaplain, his name is Father Steve, he was found in a rectory on a clot went to his brain, and he's in the hospital. And I'm asking him, also pray for his family, his sister and mother, too, that he makes a full recovery. He had a clot to his brain. He's in the hospital. That's my prayer request for him.
You got it, brother. We'll lift him up right now. I'm going to pray for all priests, especially those with health problems, but this particular priest and this critical situation with that blood clot in his brain, and all who are at high risk of stroke, those who've had stroke, those who have lost their ability to speak, or their ability to walk, who are no longer ambulatory. And I ask the Lord for healing in this area, that grace flow, that your healing touch goes out. I lift them up. I've got two friends who both have heart problems, and I want to lift them up. One is an upcoming test and possible surgery, and we're praying for a miracle that doesn't take place for him. So, Lord, I give you the body. I give you the physical needs of so many, but I, in particular, give you those in religious life as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to our next call, let me bring Patrick Alog in. He's been doing double duty, helping with the show today, and he's monitoring the Twitter account, and I really would invite you to follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. Okay, at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me personally at Drew Mariani, but leave me your prayer intentions there. Patrick will bring them to the air. You may not be able to get up through on the phones. Feel free to do that, or email me drew@relevantradio.com. Also, send me your answered prayers to drew@relevantradio.com. Every day I want to share these answered prayers, because every day God is coming through in a miraculous way, affecting so many lives. I know there are miracles in your future. Patrick, what are we praying for today?
Hey, Drew. Anna is praying for the recovery from her stroke and also for a special intention. Deb is praying for her dad as he has cancer, but it's the pain from the colostomy that is really bringing him down. It's causing him to be idle, and now he's getting weaker. Andrew, with the intention that's sort of close to my heart, is I'm also looking for that special someone. Andrew's praying for his daughter, that she meets a faithful and worthy Catholic young man to marry. Liz is praying for Mary's soul. Mary passed away the night after you prayed for her. Please pray for Liz and to heal from dizziness and imbalance. And Sandy is also praying for herself as she's praying for healing of her body. She suffers from severe pain and needs several surgeries.
Wow. Well, let's pray. Let's lift that up. So sad. I think of what St. Catherine of Siena said. It's about all this suffering. She said, you know, nothing great is ever achieved without enduring much. And life is a test. It's so difficult, but heaven awaits all of us. I want to pray for the Siskevich family. That's my last name of my producer, Tom, who lost his daughter. I was at I was at her bedside with the family. And just want to pray for consolation for those who mourn. We all go home one day. Most of us won't be alive 50 years from now, let alone 75 or 100. So let's ask God for the grace we need to grow in holiness and to be pleasing to him so we can be with him through all eternity. And Lord, I give you those dying in this moment as well. You intercede for them. You show your mercy to them. David in Albuquerque, thank you for waiting. You can join us on this decade.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I've been listening for a while to this chaplain. I appreciate it. And I want to offer up prayers for all the past intentions, the present intentions, and the future intentions of this prayer. It helps very much. I know you've prayed for my mom before, and I thank you. And also for a Father Robert Bustamante here in Albuquerque. He has a brain tumor. So also for him. Thank you.
You got it. Let's pray that that brain tumor shrink. Father Bustamante will lift him up. David, I want to pray for you. I love that tension. All the years I've been praying this on the air, no one has prayed for all the past intentions. I think that's very charitable. I love it. Lord, I give you, you're outside of time. I give you the past. I give you the present. I give you our future. We just ask for the graces that we need for healing, those graces for financial blessings, those graces we need to rise above temptation and sin and to grow in holiness. And Lord, I ask that everyone who's praying with me in this moment, that they'll have the grace to know your will, to be faithful to it, to follow it, that they may see the results of their prayers. So we turn to you once again as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Patrick is praying in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Patrick. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Drew. I want to pray first just for my family and then for all people, and let me explain. I'm praying for my three older children in the Dow. They went to Catholic schools, and I'm grateful for that, but they're not attending Mass or practicing their faith. We have two more kids at home who are getting older, and you know, I'm hoping for them, but the two youngest, that they don't leave the faith. And I just wanted to pray, you know, for my children and all young people. Have, you know, just in the last few years, it seems like so many of them have not really had the faith or have lost faith. Yeah. So that's my first prayer, Pat.
Beautiful.
And then I also wanted to pray for my wife and I. She's wanting me to move out and just feels like the marriage is not going anywhere and she's feeling a lot of hopelessness. So I just want to pray for our marriage. And then finally, I just wanted to pray for all those people out there who are, say, judges and politicians and leaders who might be very, you know, pro-life and might be like Clarence Thomas, you know, might be being attacked. And I pray for their safety and their well-being for all those kinds of people.
Well, Patrick, thank you for such beautiful, beautiful prayers. But I really want to pray for your reconciliation between you and your wife. I don't know the details, but... Yeah, as I often say this all the time when it comes to marriage, if it's a sacramental marriage, there's a special grace there, and Satan hates that relationship. I would encourage you to look into a group called RetroVi, and they have an unbelievable success rate in helping marriages that feel tepid or cold or feel like there's no future heal and reconcile. But I'm going to bring you to the Lord right now, along with so many others who are on the same path that you are, whose marriages have seem to run out of gas, where there's lack of love or chemistry, where there is lack of trust, where there's been hurt or infidelity, where there's other factors to play. And Lord, I know how much Satan hates marriage. I ask you right now, in a very special way, to send graces to those couples who are seeking reconciliation, who need it. Remove whatever impediment is there. Remove whatever dark or demonic spirit may be trying to divide that family. And I just ask for healing to flow, super abundance of grace today. And anyone who is not familiar with RetroVi, it's a French word. The website is easy to get to. It's helpourmarriage.org. Just check it out, okay? Helpourmarriage.org. Helpourmarriage.org. It might offer you a solution. I know a colleague of mine, she and her husband had gone to it, and it helped their marriage. So hang in there, okay? Never stop praying, Frank, or Pat, and never stop trusting. You know, just keep praying, Patrick, is what I should say, for your marriage. You know, the one final thought here, and we'll pray for him. I'm touched by that intention. I never forget what St. Faustina says, that people don't know the scope of our Lord's mercy. We don't know it. We don't believe it. We don't trust it. Therefore, we don't ask for big enough things. God can have a tumor shrink in a heartbeat. He can make it disappear, as we hear all the time here during this chaplet. And he can certainly heal your marriage. So let's pray for that. Lord, I give you this intention and all those united with me as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's go to Rancho Cucamonga next. Richard is praying with us there. Hi, Richard. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. So I'm calling for prayers of thanksgiving.
All right.
I know how you like these. So,
I do.
My sister-in-law, who was in a very troubled and toxic relationship. She was with a man who was trying to pull her away from her family and her faith and trying to separate her from God, most of all. But over the weekend, we got the news that she has ended that relationship.
Wow.
And is moving on from that.
Praise
and
God.
Actually, our godson, who is going to be confirmed in the church on next Saturday, she will be going to confession after I don't know how many years, but and is going to be receiving the Eucharist with him. So,
wow,
very
wow. That's
yes, and we've been praying chaplets and rosaries for her. So, but it's still not over yet. We still need prayers for her. Her name is Marisa. Let her bring a good Catholic man in her life for her and her son, and she can. She can go on with her life.
Well, you know, I am so glad you called, Richard. That's such a great intention, and that's the fruit of prayer. I say it all the time. You know, the one prayer that's always heard is that prayer for conversion. I really believe it. Some of us have to wait a long time to see it. Others, it happens a little quicker. But we'll continue to pray for the grace that she needs to grow in holiness, to know God, and we'll pray for that future spouse. I want to pray for you, Richard, and all of your intentions, and I just want to thank God for the way he hears our prayers. You know, he's so good and so merciful, you know, and he hears every prayer. St. Faustina wrote in her diary that all grace flows from God's mercy. All grace. That God's grace is stronger than our misery, right? That for the sinner, for those away from the faith, only one thing's necessary, that that the door of their heart be just set ajar, just ever so little, then God's grace will do the rest. He'll do the rest. So let's continue to pray that our loved ones whose hearts are, those doors are slammed shut, that they'll open just a crack. And God's grace can do the rest. I want to pray for everyone who's on hold with me, David and Debbie and Jackie and Frank and Robin and Marie and Joshua and Nora and Gabrielle and Rose and everyone else, everyone who's united with me wherever you might be and all who have written. Lord, I just bring to you your spiritual family, your children. And I intercede on their behalf. I ask you to hear my humble prayers. And I pray again today that graces flow, that prayers are answered, that miracles unfold, that relationships are healed, that operations are no longer needed, that cancer disappears, that finances are blessed. I just give you all of the crosses that so many carry as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's always, gosh, a delight. It's my privilege to be able just hang out with you and give you a look at life maybe you won't find anywhere else. And as you know, I always try to give you a different perspective on issues, whether they're current events or they're those spiritual issues that I think are so important to help deepening our faith. You know, I have a deep devotion to the saints, and there's one saint who really, I think, towers over many of the 20th century saints. Everybody has their own charisms, their own virtues, and they all grow in holiness. But when you think of some of the big guns, I think of guys like Padre Pio. If you're not familiar with him, he was a very famous Italian priest. He bore the wounds of Christ. That means he had what they call the stigmata. And he loses about a pint of blood a day from his hands, his feet, the scourging on his back. And he was a saint that literally healed thousands. I mean, just off the charts. He healed him while he was still alive. I'm not talking about even after he died. This guy healed literally thousands while he was alive. He had this incredible preternatural gift of being able to read souls, knowing in case after case exactly what a person, let's say, in confession had done. Sometimes person would go in, they'd kind of omit what they were going to say or to whitewash it, and he'd call them out on it. You know, he's been seen in another phenomenon called bilocation. That's actually being able to appear in two locations at once. You know, he might be praying in his room or in the chapel there in San Giovanni Rotondo in Italy, and others might see him in Rome, right? This was a man who suffered. He had deep wounds that bled until they miraculously vanished. They were healed upon his death. He was a priest who could predict the future. He could see into heaven. He led many to the faith. His masses took hours. They said it was incredible what he went through. So to understand really the potency of Padre Pio, you know, it's sometimes really hard. There are many, many books that have been written on his life. There's a new one out, in fact. And I'll put it on your radar. If you want some spiritual reading this Lent, you might want to check out Padre Pio's Stories of My Mentor and Friend. And it's a unique book because it connects really this incredibly powerful and paragon of saints, of mystics, if you will, with a very well-known modern exorcist. You know, you've often heard me refer to Father Gabriel Amorth. I didn't know this until just recently. He was actually the spiritual son of Padre Pio. He was a spiritual son. Maria Esperanza, who I often speak about, the woman who had very similar gifts to Pio, she's kind of the female version of Pio. Her cause is now underway, and I spent, you know, I can't tell you how many days and weeks with this great mystic. She also was a spiritual daughter to Padre Pio. But Father Amorth, he writes this beautiful, memoir, if you will, offering personal insights and experiences on, and really about Padre Pio from their long friendship. A lot of this is unknown until he wrote the book. And besides these obvious, incredible spiritual gifts I was talking about, and believe me, I could spend an hour going through more of the great miracles and wonders that surrounded Padre Pio. The book, Padre Pio, Stories of My Mentor and Friend, actually will give you a different view of this great saint. It talks about the human side of Padre Pio. And I think that often gets lost when somebody has the wounds of Christ or can bilocate or read souls or levitate, right? That sometimes gets overshadowed. But they say that Padre Pio had this great sense of humor. He had a gift for mimicry. I love that. And he had just a deep heart. He was filled with compassion and love for people. And as you might know, Father Gabriel Amorth has passed away. He died. And I invited instead a friend who is promoting the book now. His name's Anthony Ryan. He's marketing director for Ignatius Press. You can get the book there. They come by and just share some of the incredible insights that Father Amorth left in his wonderful writing. And it's good to have you with me today. Thank you, Anthony, for joining me. I appreciate it.
Great to be on. Thanks for having me on. It's always an honor to, first of all, be on your show, but also to talk about the great Padre Pio.
Yeah, I mean, and I love this because, you know, there are a lot of books written on Padre Pio. I've talked about him for years. I've read about him, and he's an inspiration, no doubt. He had special communion with God. I had no idea that Father Gabriel Amorth had this incredible connection to Pio, and Amorth is probably one of the most famous of the exorcists, in recent years. A lot of people know him and a lot of what he encountered. But fill us in. I mean, why another book now on Pio? I kind of like this unique side, and what did you draw from it?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, there's lots of books on Padre Pio, and deservedly so, and we actually published others ourselves. We also have some great films on him. So we weren't, gung-ho to try to find another book on him. There is so much already. But when this one came across our desk, so this was originally published in Italian. Father Gabriel Amorth was an Italian priest. We looked at it, and we realized that this is, as you mentioned, a unique take on Padre Pio. Unlike other books, this is from a man who knew him closely. So a lot of the books that are out there about Padre Pio, while they may be well-written and even well-researched, generally are not written by people who are that close to him or maybe even knew him, because he died in 1968. But Father Amorth knew him, and as you mentioned, and we didn't know this either, as you mentioned, that he was a spiritual son of Padre Pio, that they even had a close relationship. I think they probably just kept that kind of quiet until Amorth wrote this book. So, when we read it, we thought, well, this is a unique take on Padre. This will show, as you mentioned, the human side of Padre Pio. And often, as you mentioned also, it's hard to keep that in focus with him because he had these incredible spiritual gifts, as you mentioned, so many, the stigmata, the power to bilocate, et cetera, that, you kind of wonder, was this guy even human? Was he even like us? And you want to kind of find out about the humanity of this guy that was almost like a spiritual Superman. And so that's what Amorth does. He shows you the human side of Padre Pio. And for example, the cover of this book, there's a picture of Padre Pio smiling and almost, almost laughing with a group of people with him, including some children. And Amorth said, that's the real Padre Pio. He said, often when you see photos of Padre Pio, he looks very serious, almost stern, and, understandable. I mean, he dealt with the devil all the time. He heard confessions for hours and hours. His masses lasted hours. I mean, he was involved in a spiritual battle all day long, so you can understand that image of him. But Amorth said, outside of that, the real Padre Pio was gentle. He was humorous. He was compassionate. And he kind of really delves into that in this book. And to me, as you mentioned, it's really almost consoling to know that Padre yeah. Pio had this deep human side to him and was almost embarrassed by the gifts that he had, especially the stigmata. Amor talks about how Padre Pio asked our Lord to remove the visible
right.
Presence of the stigmata. He said, "I'll keep the pain, but please take away the visibility, because it's so embarrassing and all the attention that he got." And plus, yeah. then, of course, all the suffering he endured from others, including the church, because he had the stigmata. But yeah, this is a unique take on Padre Pio. It's a page turner. It's an easy read. It's not a mm-hmm. long book, but you really get to see a side of Padre Pio that we normally don't get to see.
Anthony, for those who may not know, I mean, Father Gabriel Amor, too, is a fascinating character himself.
Yep.
I mean, some of the encounters that he has had in these yep. exorcisms with Lucifer itself. Share a little bit about him for those who don't know, because we reach, 250 million households around the country and probably more around the world. There's a lot of people who probably never heard of Padre Pio before, let alone of Father Gabriel Amorth. And I know he's a very well-known exorcist. Tell us a little bit about him, his ministry, and the man that he was.
Sure. Yeah. And the reason people have to listen to me instead of him, the author, is because he passed away in 2016, which is actually when this book was released in Italy. So this book came out the year he died. So fortunately, he wrote it before he passed away, and he wrote it because he was asked to write it. He felt like he actually says at the beginning, "What else could be said about Padre Pio? But I was asked to write this, so I'll tell you my own personal memories of him." And as you mentioned, we all learned that he had this strong relationship with Padre Pio. So Father Gabriel Amorth was the chief Vatican exorcist. So he was the official exorcist from the Vatican, and really the world's foremost exorcist, and he trained a lot of other exorcists as well. And then, of course, he did countless exorcisms, and his whole life really was, as Father Gary Thomas says here on a blurb we have on the book, who was trained at the Vatican as well to be an exorcist for the Diocese of San Jose, California. He said, "Father Gabriel Amorth in this book impresses me as a down-to-earth blue-collar priest who spent the entire tenure of his priesthood in the church's trenches, battling Satan." And that's pretty much what he did the whole time of his priesthood. It was as an exorcist doing that. And Father Gary Thomas is just a good example. I don't know if he was actually taught by Father Amorth when he went to Rome. I assume he was. But
right.
he he's from California, and a book was written about him called The Rite. And then a movie was made about him, about his training as an exorcist, starring Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
And again, this is just one example of maybe a student of Father Amorth, or at least a student of the Vatican for exorcists. And so, at any rate, Father Amorth had this unique relationship with Padre Pio, as we mentioned. He met him in 1942 when he was a young priest, and then he realized that he wanted to stay close to him, and he kept coming back to visits until 1968 when Padre Pio passed away. So 26 years they had this strong relationship. You know, it's beautiful. Interesting, they both, most of their mission was battling Satan. I mean, Padre Pio to save souls,
yeah.
and Amorth the same, and really in different ways. I mean, Padre Pio was not an exorcist, but he knew about how to battle Satan, and he actually advised exorcists when they asked for advice.
In fact, Anthony, hold that thought. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, I mean, a fascinating aspect of Padre Pio was the fact that he'd often get beaten up, thrown around, brutalized by Satan, and he'd sometimes you get angry as guardian angel for letting that happen. We can come back. We can talk about that. If you want to join us, I only have Anthony maybe another 10 minutes or so talking about Padre Pio. There's a new book out you might want to check out. Grab a pen and paper. I'll give you the title. And feel free to dial in. 888-914-9149. Our conversation continues right after this.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The hope lives here.
The Drew Mariotti Show on Relevant Radio.
So great to be with you today. Getting you plugged into some good spiritual reading for this Lent. Really, for any time. You know, I have just such a love for Padre Pio and for many of the great saints. God often I think, allow certain souls these gifts to help those of us maybe with weak faith to realize that God, who created all the laws of nature, is above them and can suspend them if he so chooses. How can a human being be in two places at once? It's impossible, right? How can somebody read souls or with clarity predict the future? Now, miracles surrounded Padre Pio, this beautiful priest who lived in San Giovanni Rotondo. He was the first priest ever to bear the wounds of Christ. St. Francis of Assisi, of course, was the first to receive the stigmata. But Padre Pio was the first priest. And it's really impossible to do justice to the array of miracles that surrounded him. I mean, they're endless. And they have really transcended his death. Many are those who claim that he's interceded in hopeless cases, especially with children. Or they have seen him in apparitions. There was one memorable case, I remember, where he materialized supposedly by an altar to give communion to a startled woman in San Giovanni Rotondo. So, and the stories go on and on. I could share many of those. Allied pilots during the wars that saw Padre Pio way in the air, warding them off, and the stories go on. If you're fascinated, you want to learn a bit more, you can read a number of books about Padre Pio. But there's a new one out. It was written by a close friend of him. It's called Padre Pio, Stories of My Mentor and Friend, written by now the deceased Vatican exorcist Father Gabriel Amorth, and gives, I think, a beautiful side of Padre Pio, the human side of him. A friend of mine once told me Padre Pio used to love to have one beer a day. And of course, he fasted and did a lot of other things. My guest today, Anthony Ryan. And if you want to join us, you can dial in 888-914-9149. Anthony, we left off talking about the battles that Padre Pio would do with Satan. We knew Gabriel Amorth did the same thing as an exorcist. This was common. But there are stories of Pio who would be beaten, literally, physically assaulted, brutalized by the evil one. You want to shed some light on that?
Yeah, I mean, it happened often, actually. You know, so when he was a boy, so Amor starts off the book by talking about Padre Pio as a boy, that even as a boy, he started having these mystical experiences. And he thought that everyone had them. When he was a boy, he didn't realize he was given such unusual experiences. Right. So he had this experience where he had a vision of our Lord who took him out into this big field. And standing in this field was this huge, huge giant, kind of like a David against Goliath. And he said, I want you to go out and fight him. And, of course, he was terrified. And he said, no, I want you to go out and fight him, but I will be with you. And if you enter the fight, I will be with you and you will be victorious. So he did that, and it was a rough and tumble thing, but he did defeat the giant. And so Padre Pio realized that was a kind of a foretelling of his mission in life, that he would spend the rest of his life battling this giant, which is Satan, and he would do it for the salvation of souls. So oftentimes it would actually get to be physical, as you said. I mean, a lot of times it was spiritual, it was interior. I mean, he had all kinds of battles with Satan. But sometimes it would be physical, where Satan would appear to him as a terrible monster, or a terrible looking animal, and you know, he would beat him up. They would fight in his cell, and you know, the other friars would actually hear something going on in there. They'd hear the banging and the screaming, and you know, they'd come in and find Padre Pio laying on the floor bloodied. And you know, again, he was embarrassed by that, but that was the price that he paid for souls. And this was kind of his mission, was to battle Satan to save souls. And as you mentioned, happened physically often with him, where he would actually get beaten up.
The other thing that I love about him, just from a spiritual perspective, too, we just finished praying the Chapel of Divine Mercy, and trust is such an important part of that prayer. And Pio had this great saying. He said, you pray, you hope, and you don't worry, right? And I think that's such a lesson for our time, where anxiety levels seem to be rising like never before today. And, you know, people are super stressed out. Outside of the gifts that he had in his battle with the evil one, what's some of the strongest spiritual advice he left to us?
Well, I mean, that's one right there. I mean, that sounds pretty simple. Pray, hope, and don't worry. And, you know, we need things to be simple, right? I mean, that almost summarizes the spirituality of St. Therese of Lisieux, the little way, which is love, humility, and trust. But kind of what this boils down to, pray, hope, and then just trust. It, as you mentioned, it really is like the message of divine mercy, this whole idea of trust. If you really pray hard, as Padre Pio said, and regularly, and then you have hope that God will hear your prayers, then you shouldn't be worried. You should really, you should live that trust that God lives and he loves us and he will hear our prayers and answer them in his time according to his will. Yeah. So to me, that kind of is a beautiful summary of the message of Padre Pio, pray, hope, and trust. But also he had this huge devotion to Our Lady, which I love to talk about, a huge devotion to the rosary. And he called the rosary a spiritual weapon. So, I mean, again, that's a simple prayer. Anyone can pray the rosary. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to, you know, it's for everybody. And Padre Pio would pray it throughout the day, as Amor says here in the book. He told Amor sometimes he would pray 5-15 decade rosaries in a day. This is while he's doing everything else.
Wow.
And he said it was a spiritual weapon. And Amor said that, I figured that would be about 5 hours of prayer just on the rosary for Padre Pio in a day.
Yeah.
And this is while he's hearing confessions up to 16 hours a day and saying Mass, which could take hours. So the rosary was a key for him. And to me, that's a lesson for all of us. We can say at least one rosary a day, and more if we have time. But Padre Pio teaches us we need to say that prayer just as Our Lady asks us whenever she appears.
Yeah.
And here's another thing that I didn't realize, that Amor said that, you know, Padre Pio had this incredibly deep love for Our Lady, really strong and tender. And he said that Padre Pio felt in his soul the sorrows of Our Lady. And he saw Mary as the greatest martyr, the true queen of martyrs, which she is. But he actually, you know, kind of experienced that himself and also experiencing the sorrows of Mary in his soul. So it shows him this deep devotion to Our Lady and how important she is for all of us.
My guest today, Anthony Ryan, if you are interested in the book, I guess it's available at Ignatius Press. But let me go to the phones, too, and we'll give people contact info for you. Rocio is listening in Chicago. She's got a question for you. Hi, Rocio.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Anthony. Thank you guys for taking my call. My question is regarding the book. I have a 10-year-old son who adores and follows and does anything and everything he can in school about Padre Pio. Whenever there's a project or research or presentation, that's his go-to saint. Now, my question is, I'm hearing that it's more like on his personal life and experiences and like his physical battles with Satan. Would it be an appropriate book for a 10-year-old?
Well, you know, of all the books on Padre Pio, probably this is a little more appropriate for a 10-year-old. I mean, any life on Padre Pio is going to be somewhat of a challenge for a 10-year-old because he had all these incredible spiritual, mystical experiences, including battling with Satan. But I think this one showing more of the human side and the humorous side, the joyful side of Padre Pio, I think it would be a good book for a 10-year-old who's, you know, pretty mature and likes to read about saints. I would recommend you read it first, like I do to parents on any book, and see what you think. But for me, of all the books I've read on Padre Pio, I think this would be one that would fit that category.
That sounds great. Rocio, I got to leave it right there. Thank you very much for your call. The book is called Padre Pio, Stories of My Mentor and Friend. It's available at Ignatius Press. And best way to get it, is it your website, I'm assuming, Anthony?
Well, it is, but, you know, first, we always like to encourage people to go to their Catholic bookstore. So if there's a local Catholic bookstore, please give them your business. We want to support them, and
Amen.
They should carry this book, and if they don't, they can order it. So if you don't have a Catholic bookstore, our website is Ignatius.com, very simple, Ignatius.com, or 800 number, 800-651-1531, 800-651-1531, and you can order this book in any of those ways.
That's great. I will put a link up at Twitter, and I think it's up there right now, and we'll link you over there. Again, Padre Pio, Stories of My Mentor and Friend, written by the very famous Vatican exorcist, Father Gabriel Amor. Anthony, thank you. It's always good to hang out with you and talk with you. News and headlines are straight ahead. Stay with me. I'll be back on the other side.